there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
We're going to read today from the book of Acts in chapter 4, verses 11 through 22. Peter said, "He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now the Sadducees and Pharisees observed the confidence of Peter and John. And they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed, and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to let all of the stuff of life melt away from us today, that we can hear your word in our heart, minds, and souls. That as your word is read, that as your word is proclaimed, your message comes loud and clear into our lives. That is our prayer, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we move through the book of Acts, and as we see in the book of Acts what has occurred, we see Jesus rising, ascending to heaven, and he's telling the apostles that you will be my witnesses and that I will send the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, 10 days later, this group is gathered. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's a supernatural occurrence. And the apostles are empowered, and remember we use that Greek word dunamis, and that's where we derive our word dynamite. So this power that is enabled to the apostles, to the disciples, this 170 people that the Holy Spirit came down upon, believers in Jesus Christ. And what did they do next? They expounded and preached out the word of the power of God. And Peter preached his first sermon. All of this happening in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. And as this power of the Holy Spirit had come down upon the apostles, had come down upon the disciples, they could not help but to go out and to preach the power of the Word of God. And 3,000 people that day were saved from different countries, from everywhere around. And the church gathered together in fellowship. The church, random people, coalesced and became one body, the body of Christ. And this people that became the body of Christ gathered together in fellowship under the teaching of the apostles. They gathered together in fellowship to break bread together. They gathered together in fellowship to pray. And this was the start of the church. And so this all happened roughly in, say, 30 AD. And we're moving into chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Acts. In chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Acts, you see Peter and John going to the temple, and they heal a man who had been lame for 40 years, and he's proclaiming that he had been healed. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin call them in, and we see what happened in our reading. They ask them to explain all of this, and Peter does. And that was in our reading today. And two of the main points in the reading today is really 4:12. In 4:12, Peter says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now, he said the same thing when he preached his first sermon. He's saying the same thing when he's preaching this second sermon here to the Sanhedrin, giving his defense. And furthermore on in this reading that we had, in the second part, Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." You see, here's the thing. It was impossible for him to stop speaking. In a sense, it almost wasn't even a choice, because the power of the Holy Spirit was so profound within them as believers in Jesus Christ, and as Christ said that he will give his Spirit to those who believe, and the Holy Spirit comes. They couldn't stop. See, they had a holy contagion. They were, in other words, infected with the Holy Spirit. And we've spoken about this idea. They were infected with this holy power of God, the holy, living, breathing Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of believers. And they couldn't help but to go out. They couldn't help it. They were enabled. They were empowered. They had a holy contagion that they could not contain. When we look at contagion, the con in the word contagion has the meaning of being with. Tagion part of it, as parsed out, has sort of the meaning of spreading. So contagion is this idea of being with somebody and you're spreading it. Now, in case that we know it, we think of it as disease, right? And oftentimes in a disease, the worse off you are, the more contagious you are. And so, see, this same idea is happening with the apostles. And so, when I look at this, what I think of, it's not a contagion, it's an chi-tagion, it's an ex-tagion. You know, when we often see at Christmas time, you know, Xmas, and you know what that, well, maybe you don't know what that means, but I'll repeat it. I've said it before. But in Scripture in the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah was HaMashiach, the Messiah. And that same word in Greek from the Hebrew is called Christos. And Christos' first letter in Greek is the letter Chi, which is an X. And so when early Christians were around and they wanted to show their faith in Christ, oftentimes you would see a marking of an X. We often see that they made the emblem of the fish. They did X as well too, Chi. And Chi meant their relationship with Christ, that they were believers in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we get this derivation of Christmas. And so what we have in contagion is this idea of Christ spreading then. Extagion or chitagion, I don't know what we call it, but that's in my mind, that's what it is. And that's what believers ought to be all about. if we look at Jesus' teaching, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, after the Beatitudes, what does Jesus say? He says, you got to be salt in the world. That you must be light in the world. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to deliver flavor, to spread flavor in a flavorless world. We are called to bring light into a dark world. We are called in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit to be an exagent. That's the calling of the church. The church is more than just being in a building on Sunday. You know this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you understand what the church is. You understand what the church is because the power of the Holy Spirit places that understanding in you. You know it's not brick walls and cement and wood. It's the people. It's the body of Christ that make up the living, breathing, walking body of Jesus Christ to go out to spread the gospel, to make disciples. Extagen. You've been given the Holy Spirit infection. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are enabled for contagion. In the sense of what the apostles experienced at Pentecost is the same sense today, is that when we go out, there should not be a mistake of people seeing you, whether your light's dim or whether it's bright, but seeing some light, seeing some difference in you. You have been born again. You have been born from above. You are a new creation. You are given new life in Christ. That is everything that we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you know what? If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. When Jesus is at the upper room and he's talking with his disciples, he says that I will send to you the Holy Spirit. And he will bring knowledge to you and wisdom. You've been given then a spirit of dynamite power that is dynamic, that is full of adventure. In other words, as we live as human beings and we are born, we have this strands of DNA in all of our cells that have come down through the ages and through generation of all of our ancestors, when one way or another stuck to us. Some say that, well, I can't help being an alcoholic because it was in my DNA. I can't help being a drug addict because that's so much in my DNA. Can't help being angry or mad or a murderer or a thief because, after all, that's how I was made, and that's how, through all of the ancestry of my people, that my DNA came to have happen. And we can make those excuses all day long, but we still have choices to make. And there is a truth about it, though, however. And oftentimes, don't you see that you resemble how your father was or your grandfather, or people come to you and say, you know, you act just like your dad. And some people often say that to me. And I look at my kids, and there's a couple of my kids, they act like me. And there's a few of them that act more like Jan. And so there's this idea of DNA. When you are reborn, when you have the Spirit of God that comes into you, if you understand that you have new life, you have new DNA then. If you are born again, you have the power of the Spirit within you, and he gives you this new DNA empowered in you. You have new life, you have a new family, you have a new mission. You do not belong to a church building. You belong to the church. The very living, breathing body of Christ on earth expressed through his people. That's what we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that you are a new creation. The old has gone. That you have new life in Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, Paul talks about this idea that we are children of God, that we are adopted by God. We are part of His family. We inherit His DNA. And your new family has a new mission. That's what the whole book of Acts is all about. It's the new mission of the new family of God, the church. And your mission is the mission of Christ, making disciples, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. You have this dynamite power of the message from God that can change lives, change the lives of others, just as your life has been changed. You offer them the message of salvation. And just like Peter in the first two, three defenses of the faith right after Pentecost, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, by which we attain salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador sent from God to minister to those around you. This is who you are. Now the church is, it's been often confused with social directives. Should we, the church, be giving water to people? Yes, absolutely. But we should never forget the living water that we ought to give. Should we be giving food to those in need? No question about it. The church is to do those things. But we must never forget the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Should we give clothing to others? Yes, we should. But we should never forget the clothing that we get in the righteousness of Christ for we who believe. In Galatians 2:20, is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We give shelter, yes, but we shouldn't forget whose protection we're under. God the Father Almighty. Beloved, that's what ekstagen is all about, this Christagen, this kaitagen, this Christ sharing, shining light in dark places and adding flavor to a stale world. We, the church, are called to make a difference through Christ. We must get out from under these walls, under the roofs of our church buildings. We must show Christ. We must shine Christ. We must share Christ. That's your mission. That's our mission. We've been given a spirit of power that is dynamic, that is full of adventure. And adventurous people get out and do things. They step out of the box. They're not afraid to confront things that aren't not what they're used to. That's what adventure's all about. The life of Christ was adventure. That's what the life of the disciples were all about, was adventure. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. In the years of his ministry, he walked, rode, and traveled 14,000 miles, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, planting churches all over the place. Now, that's adventure. This guy was in prison. This guy was stoned. This guy was whipped and beaten. He was chained up. And in all those things, he still had the joy of Christ in his heart. And he still spread the gospel to even the soldier he was chained to. You see, that's what we're called to do. That's the adventurous spirit that we inherit. And I believe that you know this. I believe you know this to be true. I believe that inside you there is a spark saying, yes, I know that, I know that. God has called you for a purpose. And too long, most churches in Western culture, I believe, have laid dormant in the face of relentless contagion of evil of all sorts. We who are older, it's not hard for us to look back and see what life was like 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Even. And compare that to what we have now. Compare it to what you see on TV now. Compare it to what the rise of alcoholism is, the rise of heroin addiction. You want to see the relentless power of evil that is contagious in our community, and you will see evil spread out to people. And so, see, we as a church must be even more relentless to spread our Christ sharing, our extagen, infecting our culture with Jesus Christ, contagious Christianity. That's what we need to be all about. Our going out to this ministry that we have on the main street of Washington, PA, is a God-given opportunity for mission. We have churches all around that are paying for us to go up there. And I know a lot of you have been there and a lot of you help. And it's been fantastic. And don't you see? Don't you see it? Don't you feel it? I mean, I see it every day that I'm up there. You see, there's people you talk to, there's people that pop in, there's people, it's already happening. We can make a difference up there in the middle of all of the tragedy of what has happened in the city of Washington. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We were empowered for adventure. We were empowered to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were empowered to make disciples. Are you up for the mission? I mean, is it on your heart for this? Do you see it? Do you agree with this? And are you willing to not only engage the culture, but infect the culture with your DNA, your newborn DNA, the Spirit of the living God who dwells inside of you? Are you? We are the church of Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is our mission. God has given us a mission, and it's awesome. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, you do miraculous things, Lord. There is nothing a year ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, we weren't even thinking of anything like this. Wasn't even on our radar. You made it possible. It couldn't have been possible without you. You supplied the space. You supplied the vision. You supplied the money. You supplied everything, and you continue to do it. Because for some strange reason, you've called this little church that doesn't have hundreds of people coming to it to be the spark of a mission that will start in the city of Washington. Lord, it is amazing to be in the family of God, not afraid to step out and understanding your will. We are the body of Christ. We are the people of God. We are then the shining light on the hill, Lord, and we thank you for that. We are the salt that can flavor this world, and you give us that opportunity. We thank you. And as we gather here today as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves to you, Lord, as a living and holy sacrifice. Our very act of worship to the living God. We gather in unity with one another. Not because you force us to love one another, but because we're called to love one another. That you soften our hearts as a family. And you draw us together. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us clean hands and a pure heart. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.